I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'd like for us to look at the first 10 verses of Ezekiel. And this is the passage of Scripture that deals with the valley of dry bones. I was looking at my notes. As often as I refer to this passage, we're all familiar with it, but I look back. I've never preached out of this passage since I've been here, and I'd like to consider it this morning. Now, this passage of Scripture deals primarily with the truth of how God Almighty calls His people out of spiritual darkness by the hearing of the gospel, as that gospel is blessed to their hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the ultimate message here. Every sinner needs to hear this message. Every believer wants to hear it, needs to hear it, and hear it again. Here's the reason. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, hearing by the gospel, the Word of God. The gospel of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking, but I need to hear what I'm saying. Our text begins, Ezekiel 37, in verse 1, and here's what the Lord has to say about how He saves His people. The hand of the Lord was upon me, the power and the direction of the Lord. Now, whenever God is going to speak, He's going to speak through preaching. We're going to see that in just a minute. But the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. The Lord, in His power, grace, mercy, caused me to be set down, to rest, what He said, in a valley. And He caused me to pass by these bones, verse 2, round about. And Ezekiel said, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Ezekiel said, I was moved upon by the power of God to be set down in this valley. And this valley was filled with nothing but bones. Just dry bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about, over and over, in circles. He said, I was made to encircle these bones and to view them again and again. To just keep looking at them. The first thing that God teaches his people, especially his preachers, is that they're going to be made to see the plight of man's depravity and death, spiritual death. And that because of sin. This is the reason why death is in this world. Sin. And Ezekiel said, I passed by them round about, and there were very many in this open valley, and they were very dry. There was no skin, no marrow, no moisture. This is man by nature. There is no life, no spiritual life. They're very dry. Not even a little bit. They're not a little good. There's none good. No, not one. No strength. No will. No belief. Dead in trespasses and sins. Now this is man. Now this is every man, every woman born in Adam. They're just dead. That's what they are. They're dead spiritually in trespasses and sin. I know they're physically alive for a while. But spiritually, that's what the Scripture says. They're dead. And then verse 3 said, "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, the question came from God, not for God's information, but for Ezekiel's information and for our information. Now, here's the question for our learning. And here's a question that the Lord asked a prophet. And here's a question that we want to consider. Now, can sinners dead in trespasses and sins, can a sinner live spiritually? Can he live spiritually? Can a dead sinner, one that has rebelled against God, one that has died in Adam's rebellion. We were all in the loins of Adam. And what Adam did, we all did. We all did this. When Adam rebelled against God, when God told Adam, "In the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die." And Adam ate. Adam ate with his eyes wide open. God spoke to Adam. Eve was beguiled. You know what that means? She was fooled. She was tricked. She was tricked. But when she gave that fruit to Adam, Adam, wide open, he rebelled against God. He knew what he was doing. And as soon as he ate, he died spiritually. There was no knowledge, no fellowship with God. He immediately, what we are being born into this world, that's what he became immediately. Light gone. Now, here's the question. Can these dry bones, a picture of all men, all women born in Adam, can they live? Can they regain life? Spiritual life before God. Can they become alive unto God again? And the prophet's answer was most honest and most modest and most God-honoring. Now, you're looking at that dry bones. And the prophet knows surely that with God all things are possible. But humanly speaking, can dry bones come back to life? Humanly speaking, I mean now, no. No. No, they can't. But is anything too hard for the Lord? There's a question. And the scripture says that Ezekiel answered in verse 3, and he said, "Oh, Lord God, you're the Lord. You're the master. You're in charge. Lord, thou knowest. If there's any hope for these dry bones, Lord, you know. Because if there's any hope for these dry bones, you're going to have to do it. Because these dry bones have no ability to be able to bring themselves back to life." Now you stop for just a minute and just ask yourself this. When it comes to men telling spiritually dead sinners that God wants to do something, if they will exercise their will. Now let me ask you something. Does that have any kind of sanity to it? Dead bones. Dead dry bones. Lord, you know. And you're the only one that knows. Verse 4 says, "Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones." Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, you know. He said, "I want you to preach to them. Preach to them. I want you to preach to these dead bones. I don't want you to appeal to their will or their ability because they don't have any. They don't have any. There's nothing there but dry bones. That's all it is dry bones. Preach to them." 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now let me ask you this, humanly speaking. Is there anything, humanly speaking, is there anything more absurd? Can there be anything more absurd, more foolish to the natural mind, than to preach to dead bones? Speak to these dead bones. One might say, "Well, I believe that God can save a sinner any way He wants to." And I'm going to tell you, I agree with you. God can save a sinner any way He wants to. And let me tell you what He has revealed He wants to. He's going to save His people through the preaching of the gospel. Through the means of preaching. Paul the Apostle penned this to the church at Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So the means of God saving a sinner, a dead sinner, spiritually dead sinner, does not begin by appealing to that dead, spiritually dead sinner's will. His will is dead. It's dead. So there's nothing in the object of God's mercy. There's nothing in a spiritually dead sinner to appeal to. There's nothing there. You're speaking to absolute dead. Preach to them. preach to them. That's the only way. Now hear me well. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. Does God use any other means except the preaching of the gospel to save a sinner? The answer is no. 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 It pleased God. I just read it. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, listen to Romans 10, 14, 15. How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How? How? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the world has to say about how God saved a sinner. I'm telling you, according to this Word, and don't believe me, if it's not written in God's Word, be like the Bereans. Search the Scriptures daily and find out if these things are so. I'm telling you, men can tell you that you can appeal to this. No, you can't. There's nothing to appeal to. Preaching. God saves sinners through the means of preaching the gospel. The gospel. Well, what is the gospel then? You say, Marvin, you keep talking about the gospel, the gospel. Well, then what is it? What is the message of the gospel? He told Ezekiel, prophesy unto these bones. And this, listen, here's the beauty of this. Not only did the Lord tell Ezekiel to preach to him, He told him what to preach. Now this is where we can have some confidence. I know what I'm about to tell you. Well, what I've told you so far is according to God's Word. But I know that what I'm about to tell you is so. Because this is God's Word. And I've got God's Word on this. I know the message that we're to preach. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Here's where it is, right here. You preach to them and say unto them, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Preach to the dry bones. I am preaching to people who all were born in trespasses and sin. I'm preaching to some that God's called out of darkness. I'm preaching to some, I'm sure, that God's never called out of darkness, still dead in trespasses and sins. And let me tell you what I say unto you. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm preaching to men and women who in themselves have no ability to hear. Ezekiel, you tell men and women what they are first by nature. First thing you tell them, you tell them about their inability. You tell them that they're dead in trespasses and sins. Listen to Isaiah 55:8. The Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Let me tell you the power of God's Word is that God Almighty has said it's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I want you to prophesy under these bones, and you say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. And here's what God's still saying to these dry bones, to those that don't have ears to hear. They don't have a heart to understand. He's preaching to dead sinners. He's preaching to them. And he said, you tell them that you're dry bones, and I command you to hear the word of the Lord. And he said, you tell them, behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live. You tell them that. And I will lay sinews upon you. I will bring up flesh upon you. I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you. You shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. Okay. Ezekiel said in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Somebody can say, Ezekiel, you are beside yourself. Are you nuts? You're talking to dead, dry bones, Ezekiel, and you're talking to them as though they're alive. And Ezekiel, who had a heart to believe God, did exactly what he was saying. And this, Mark, is what I'm doing. I'm talking to dead bones. And I say, according to the word of the Lord, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God Almighty is sovereign. God will give you life. You don't have it, and you can't produce it. And the Lord alone can give you life eternal, ye dry bones. So I prophesy, verse 7, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Whenever the gospel goes forth and is preached in power, obediently by the voices of God's preachers. And that's all a preacher is. A preacher is a messenger. I'm a messenger, an ambassador of Christ, as though God did beseech us, telling you the very message that God Almighty speaks. We pray you, the apostle said, in Christ's stead. We pray you in the place that is reserved and for God Almighty only. This is His word. Be ye reconciled to God. And we say to dead, dry bones to do what they possibly cannot do. There's no possibility in themselves. They can't do it. Ezekiel preached exactly what he was instructed to preach. He told them what they were by nature. You're dead. He told them, hear the word of the Lord. He told them, he said, God Almighty alone can give you life. And he said there was a movement I preached exactly what God said. And he said there was a movement. And he said it bones came together and sinews, the connecting stuff, ligaments that holds the bones together, and the flesh was there, the muscles and everything, the skin covered it. But he said there was no life there. There was no breath in them. What was just piles of bones now started coming together, and now there's, it looks like people. And there's skin, and they look like human beings now, but there's no breath. They're not moving. Whenever the gospel is preached, there's always some activity. There's something that happens. A sower went forth to sow one time. The Lord Jesus Christ gave this parable, and some of the seed. The seed is the gospel. Seed's the gospel. He said a sower went and he sowed. Some of it fell by the wayside. The birds came and ate it up and it was gone. Some of it fell in stony ground and it sprang up quickly. Some of it fell, you know, in thorny ground and the cares of this world choked it out. Some of it fell on good ground. Brought forth fruit. But when that seed went forth, that seed that fell on the stony ground and the thorny ground, there was activity there. It looked for a while like life. It looked like it had taken hold and the thorny ground it raised up quickly and it Scripture says it received it gladly. Looked like believers, look like them, but it said when the sun came out, because there was no deepness of earth, when the sun came out, the sun of persecution, trials came, it withered. It was temporary. It was just sporadic. There was no continuous. There was no life. It looked like life. It looked like it for a while. But there was nothing there. They heard Ezekiel preach. There was some knowledge there. There was some head knowledge. It's amazing how many I've spoken with. And they'll tell me, I really like, you know, I read those articles. I can't tell you how many people have told me this. Man, I read your articles every week. Well, every time there's one in there. I enjoy those. I like that. Man, I appreciate your articles. I said, well, thank you. Why don't you come here? There's lip service. There's a head acknowledgement. I believe in man's total depravity and unconditional election and particular redemption, irresistible grace, preservation of the saints. I believe that. Here. But there's no life. He said the sinews, flesh, skin, but there was no breath. And the Lord told Ezekiel in verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now listen. The Lord has promised that He's going to save His people. Now you know that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's what you just read, Mitch. I know that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God and salvation. But listen, the power is not in the preacher. I can preach, I'm trying as clearly as I can to set forth what this book sets forth. The glory of God in the salvation of sinners. And I can tell you as plainly as I know how, Ezekiel repeated exactly what God said. And there was no life. The Lord said, Ezekiel, you prophesy to the wind. You ask God's blessing by the Holy Spirit to bless this word. Salvation is not in my voice. Salvation is by the power and grace of God Almighty. Brother Henry Mahan told me one time, he said, a man can preach the gospel as clearly as it can be preached. And unless God blesses it, it's just words. It's just words. Words. Prophesy to the wind. And say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. In the same page, probably, Ezekiel 36, in verse 25 and 26, I want you to look what God said He's going to do. He said, I'm going to sprinkle clean water upon you. You'll be clean from all your filthiness, from your idols. I'll cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. New spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. 27, I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. God said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And look at verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. The Lord said, this is what I'm going to do, and you're going to ask me for it. I pray this morning that Almighty God, blessed by His Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit in power and bless the Word to the salvation of your people. Prophesy to the wind. Come, four winds, breathe. Breathe upon these slain that they may live. And Ezekiel, last verse, verse 10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded. He said, I asked God to bless it. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. When God is pleased to bless the Word, that's when God gives life. Salvation is not in knowledge. Not in knowledge. Demons have knowledge. Demons, believe me, believe in the 5 points of Calvinism. Everybody in hell believes in the 5 points of Calvinism now. Man leaves this world, and all of a sudden, no unregenerate sinner leaves this world believing in man's free will. All of a sudden, he knows that God's in control. There's a great difference in merely having the Word of God preached and you have a head knowledge of it or acknowledgement of it, and having that Word taught and made effectual to the heart by the Holy Spirit. Last passage, 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 to 7. The Apostle Paul says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, How do you know, Paul? How do you know? Is there any hope of knowing this side of the grave that God has done something for me? Sure is. Here's where it is, right here. He said in verse 5, He said, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." When the Word of God comes in power, there's a change within. There's not just a knowledge of what God says. He said, "Our word came not in word only, but in power." When God gives a man or woman a new heart, let me tell you the first thing they know. I am a sinner, incapable of doing anything to help myself. I can't do anything. That word sent and blessed by the Holy Ghost creates an assurance. That's what He said. It came not in word only, but in power, the Holy Ghost, much assurance. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And He says, and you know, latter part of verse 5, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. When God Almighty gives a man or woman a new heart, they recognize the voice of the Lord through God's preachers. Now you listen to what a man's preaching, and I'll tell you what you'll know. You'll know whether or not God sent him. And then lastly, He said in verse 6 and 7, you became followers of us, you've received the word, much affliction, you're examples. A believer is an example, and he's a pattern of faithfulness in worship and conduct, an attitude toward God, toward His people, God's people. You know why a man will not preach the message that God told Ezekiel to preach? You know why? You know why he won't preach it? Number one, God didn't send him. God didn't. He said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." He won't preach it because God didn't send him. If God sends a preacher, now you write this down, he's going to preach the only message that honors the Lord and gives a sinner no confidence in himself. Know why he won't preach it? Because he really doesn't believe that men are dead. He don't believe that. He believes that you can appeal to something in a man. He don't really believe those bones are dry. Now I'll tell you the third reason he don't preach it. He doesn't believe God's sovereign. The Lord says, "You preach it, I'll cause sinews, I'll cause flesh, I'll send the Spirit." God didn't send him. He doesn't believe that man's a sinner. And he doesn't believe God's sovereign. But you let God Almighty teach a man what he is in himself and who God is. If God sends a preacher, he'll preach that. Lord, bless these words. Lord, send your Holy Spirit today. Bless this to the salvation of your people for Christ's sake.